Hey, everybody, before we start the show, wanted to give you a big heads up. People, this weekend, June and I are going to be on Celebrity Family Feud. That's right, Celebrity Family Feud on ABC with an amazing cast of people that you know and that you like a lot. Celebrity Family Feud, Sunday night, definitely check it out. And if you're listening to this and you're at Comic-Con right now, you can be going over to the Best of Earwolf panel. That's right, we are at the Best of Earwolf panel. Just go on your San Diego Comic-Con app, you'll figure out where it is. And also on Saturday, I will be hosting the Future Man panel, which is a show I'm in, and then I'm also moderating, and that is Saturday at 6:30. Oh my gosh, so many great opportunities for you to come out, hang with all your favorites from Earwolf, and learn about a brand new show produced by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, starring Josh Hutcherson from The Hunger Games. But you know what? Speaking of good content, Andrea Savage has a brand new show. Andrea Savage also on Family Feud with us this Sunday. It's called I'm Sorry, and it features a host of the funniest people working today. I love Andrea. You know that she's so funny. She was on our Deck the Hall episode of How Did This Get Made? She's got a very strong point of view. It is the show to me is kind of like a version of Curb, and I don't want to simplify it, but that's kind of what it's like. It's Andrea going through her life. The show is raw, it's dark, it's funny, and it also co-stars Jason Mantzoukas. That's right, Jason Mantzoukas is in the show. He's hilarious in it. I make a guest appearance along with Nick Kroll. You can also see people like Judy Greer, Nelson Franklin, you know, from Veep, Martin Mull, Steve Zissis. Who else is in this show? Oh, so many great, great people. Check it out. You will love it. It's every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. It's on True TV. It just started, so just catch up. Get it any way you can. Andrea is super funny, and you will love I'm Sorry on True TV Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. Find it. Here's the deal, people. You love Doug Benson? I love Doug Benson. And you know what? Doug Benson loves movies so much that he made a podcast about it. Now hear all 8 seasons of Doug Loves Movies on Stitcher Premium. Plus hear bonus episodes of The Benson Interruption completely ad-free. That's 1,000 hours of Doug Benson podcasts for only $4.99 a month or $34.99 a year. I have been listening on my Stitcher Premium app. I think the app is incredibly superior to what was going on before. I love this app. I've been on many episodes of Doug Loves Movies, as has Jason. Definitely listen to Doug Loves Movies. It's amazing to be able to go back in time, hear people like Edgar Wright, hear people like Leonard Maltin, all on this podcast, TJ Miller, Pete Holmes, so many great episodes. Start listening now with a 1-month free trial at Stitcher Premium. Go to StitcherPremium.com/Doug, D-O-U-G. Use the promo code BONKERS at checkout to get your free month. That's StitcherPremium.com/Doug and use the promo code BONKERS.
A movie that proves the age-old adage, don't fuck in your dad's furniture store or you'll be killed by robots. We saw Chopping Mall, so you know what that means.
What's the nigga grow a baby in his belly? Rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly. Or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow. And take a boat with Speed 2 hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul in the beautiful June. Gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Randy Games and Street Fighter helps to blow off steam. Just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado to Birdemic, how we staying alive. They call it in the badass and he's on the line. Cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice. Cause the bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice. Paul and June getting literal. Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the monkey shots getting paid. They judge a bunch of movies while they're making the grade. Here's a real question for you. How did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth. And hello, people of Largo. We are live once again at Largo, our LA home, and we have a great show for you tonight. The film is Chopping Mall, and this has been on our agenda for a very long time. Thank you, Amazon Prime, for making it available for all of us to see. Let's get this show started. Let me introduce you to Jason Mantzoukas!
What's up, jerks?
Welcome, Jason.
How are you, Paul?
Very good. I told you this backstage, but excited.
Peek behind the curtain.
Yeah, a little bit. Just a glimpse. A glimpse.
Just a glimpse behind the curtain.
I said I got excited genuinely in the middle of watching this movie that I was going to be able to talk about it with you in particular.
Oh, yeah. Was the part where you got excited the very busy women's locker room at the mall? Because that's when I wrote, this movie is awesome.
I think the moment that switched
like
over for me.
Highly functional women's locker room at the mall. What?
They got to get changed into those uniforms somewhere.
Oh, well, but listen, as long as it gives us like more boobs in this movie, I am into it. I really was like, why don't we do movies with more boobs in them? Like our lives would be better.
It's amazing to see that much nudity in a movie because I feel like it's been that's been almost erased or it's done tastefully now. This movie, it's gratuitous.
Yes.
It's to a point where you feel uncomfortable.
You are wrong, sir.
Let me introduce you.
Or if that's uncomfortable, then I was uncomfortable throughout the movie. I don't understand words.
Let me introduce my other co-host, the lovely, the talented, June Diane Raphael.
June.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. June, another peek behind the curtain. I showed you the poster for this movie this week, and you said, what? I can't do this. I will not watch this. You were very upset by the poster.
I don't do gore.
Yeah.
But this wasn't really gory. This was
what?
Just...
It isn't, though.
There were multiple head explosions.
But they happened so quickly. Like, I'm okay with a head explosion. I'm not okay with a head, like, slowly dangling and seeing insides outside. So I was okay with that. I was okay with it.
Well, I will say that the poster for this movie makes it way more scary. It's like...
What's the poster?
The poster is like a decomposing hand holding a shopping bag where arms and legs are coming out of it. So it looks like, it's a chopping... Like, people are getting chopped up at the mall.
It's a store where you go to get, like, human limbs?
That's
the big... And we'll get into this after our guest comes out, but that's the big confusion about this movie.
No, let's get into it right now.
I was expecting...
The poster makes it seem like... And the opening montage makes it seem like we're going to see a lot of shoppers get killed.
Yes.
It's not what happens.
No.
No.
Well, we'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it once we get to that guest.
Nouveau Sweeney Todd. Not the case. Our guest tonight is somebody we've been very excited to have on the show. She is fantastically funny. She currently is starring on the show Shrink, which is on CISO. You can see her on the upcoming season of Veep. She also is one of the stars of Blunt Talk, and her show, Wild Horses, performs here at Largo all the time. Please welcome Mary Holland! Let's see. Welcome. Welcome, Mary.
Party to the max!
I wrote that down, too. Oh, no, she said it's good times to the max.
Oh, good times to the max.
I had real, like, nostalgia during this movie.
Did you ever say good times to the max?
Stuff, like, I feel like those were the kind of stuff, like, that was, like, the lingo when I was in... like high school or whatever, is shit like that.
I have a question. Was I supposed to have notes?
You don't have to have notes.
No, you fucking blew it. You blew it, Mary.
What was your, obviously, like, what was your interpretation of the poster or anything? Uh-huh. Like, what did you know? Like, what, like, walk us through your journey of, hey, you got to watch this movie to do the show.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
So there I was late last night, and I thought I should watch this because I don't have much time left.
Yeah. Which is a good thing.
On it's this only, earth.
The movie is 77 minutes. 77. Doesn't even make 80, not even close to 90. 77.
I think it's technically a short.
I didn't know you could make a movie that is 77 minutes. All right, so yeah, so you
okay,
you,
so yeah. then I had it up, and I had the same response to the poster as well. I was like, oh no, oh, I'm not gonna like this. Yeah. I can't do this. And then it really wasn't that.
Yeah, it's surprisingly not that.
Yeah.
The premise of this movie, just to clue you in if you've not seen it, it's about three malfunctioning robots that kill teenagers after a fuck sesh.
And by the way, this is...
And teenagers are in quotes.
Yeah, those aren't... Those are not teenagers.
Those are not teenagers.
Yeah. And they specifically
the way,
aren't
they,
teenagers. They're not
they
teenagers,
teenagers
so that they can fuck. So that they can be nude and fuck, they are not teenagers.
One of them is a married,
there's a married couple.
On Amazon. On Amazon, it says next to the description of the movie, eight teenagers
oh, okay.
get caught in a shopping mall at, you know, whatever it says about the movie. So my question is, I know the actors aren't teens, obviously. They're all 45. But
they were teenagers at one point.
Like, sure.
It would have made more sense if Danny Trejo played one of the teenagers.
Present but what day I kept on Danny coming Trejo. Back to is, are these characters teenagers?
I believe these, because they two of them are married, and the others
Which
all
is
have
odd.
Jobs.
An
Very odd.
Oh, that's yeah. right.
I want to yeah. get into their so business and are, financials
yes.
pretty soon.
I think
pretty
they
soon.
Are meant to be post, I think they are meant to be like college age people, right?
Well, I don't know, because teens are the ones that have jobs at the mall.
Not in this movie. They are, in the beginning of the movie, they have like an all-mall meeting to introduce the robots to the mall. There is a doctor present. They're like, okay, doctor, fair point. And I wrote, why is there a doctor at the mall?
But here's the thing.
It's as if this mall is the most important place on earth.
But this mall also has a store that sells dynamite.
Yep.
Okay. There's a right. paint store.
And there
at
might
this
as well
mall.
Be like an office for NASA at this mall. Like, and everybody that works there appears to, like the eye roll couple that we saw in the trailer. Like, oh boy, like. The guy that during the all mall meeting says that one of the robots looks ethnic.
Oh my God, that was wild.
I was like, what is happening?
I was like, those two people are the 1980s version of difficult people. I was like, that is Julie Klausner and Billy Eichner right here. Like, oh, let's get them to cameo.
1 week from tonight at closing, the Protectors will begin their patrol of the mall.
Paul, they look like the Three Stooges.
Each assigned to one of the three upper shopping levels.
I don't know, Mary. The one in the middle has an unpleasantly ethnic quality.
Now, are there any questions?
Yes, Dr. Carrington.
So, what are your machines that do besides kill criminals?
Well, first of all, Doctor, the Protectors do not kill.
I wonder if they kill cockroaches.
They could probably be programmed to.
They seem so violent. If they're called Protectors, what do they protect?
Plenty. For starters, as seen in the film, the Protectors do their work in the mall proper, not in the stores themselves.
Maybe we could use one at the restaurant. Get rid of people we don't like.
I was sad that they didn't come back.
I was surprised they didn't.
I did find something out interesting about them, because I was curious for why these two characters are so snarky at the top of the movie and getting, oddly, a lot of screen
time.
Yeah,
they're like, very featured.
Very featured to not be mentioned or referred to any ever again. They are two characters from a movie called Eating Raoul, which was another Roger Corman movie about cannibal people who are cannibals. So this is a continuation of their characters.
Oh, so this is the shared Eating Raoul universe?
Yes.
Whoa. I wish I'd known we were in that.
The
me too.
Eating Raoul universe? There's some way. There's a good one there.
Wait,
in there somewhere.
There was something about that. Oh, my issue with this movie, just at the top level of it, is this. I mean, there's many, but it's a problem that is not a problem that they've created an insane solution to.
Yeah.
So like they're like, so it's
well,
like,
that's the thing at the all mall meeting. There's no like, has crime been up?
It's
no
basically,
one says anything.
The movie
about
is
that.
Basically RoboCop in a mall.
Well,
but
here's what I really
like. That presumes the mall needs RoboCop,
absolutely.
And it does not.
And this is
three
the main,
RoboCops.
But this is the problem. At the end, those robots only come out when the stores are closed.
June, how do you feel about robots?
Don't like them. But by the way, these robots also are fairly friendly looking and affable looking. They don't also appear menacing. But the mall closes at night, and these crazy gates lock
literally
everyone
like,
in.
Like space lock,
yes,
right, but
stores.
This is my, but yeah. That's when the robots come out, which begs the question, like, why do you need robots? Nobody's there. Nobody's breaking in.
They don't.
And if they're locked in, they can't get out.
There is no evidence given as to why this is even remotely necessary for a just regular shopping mall. This is not like.
But I guess my point is, yeah. even if the mall had a spike in crime in the last few months,
sure.
This still is not the solution.
I agree.
I would argue that no mall is really getting broken into in the middle of the night. It seems like, it doesn't seem like the best target. It's like, let me go into a maze of stores and
each have their own security systems in
so
place.
So you have to break into one security, then another. Like, it just seems.
I feel like that was the pitch, though. I feel like the pitch was like RoboCop. It works, right? They put a robot into a crime-infested city, and everything goes crazy. This is that, except the robots are tiny and cute, and and Detroit is a shopping mall.
I would go like this. They'd be like, all right, we love Short Circuit. Johnny Five comes alive, but what if Johnny Five kills? Make that movie with boobs.
Yes. Like, but, yeah, he doesn't fight adults, though. So it's Red Dawn versus Tiny Robot Johnny Fives. Yep.
Well, here's the thing. I think as a setting, the mall, I mean, there's a lot of fun to be had.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of fun
so
to be
much
had
fun.
In a mall movie.
We all
agree.
Know.
Yes. There's different stores. There's
you
different lifestyle brands. It's fun.
There was a House of Almonds. I don't know if you saw that. Did you guys see that?
This mall was like none I've ever seen.
This was the one that jumped out right here. Her scent is
the name
of one of the stores.
I didn't
Her
catch
scent.
It.
Oh, man. Great. I used to go to that part of the mall all the time. Just to remember my mom.
Oh, my God. That's really touching.
They also just give these robots like things that they casually say
because she used to work in that section of the mall.
Oh, yeah. by the way, we are a mere 200 yards away from the exteriors of this mall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Beverly Center is a mere few feet away from here, where they just quickly show you exteriors as if the DP was in a car that couldn't stop. And they're like, shit, get it.
They shot this on a public bus.
Yeah. There was no way a permit was given for whatever footage they used to get the Beverly Center. And it's not the Beverly Center inside. It is the same mall from Commando. That's the one thing I do know.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's in the Valley. But they casually say at the top of the movie, oh, and these robots also have lasers that can cut through debris. Which is like, well, all right. First of all, you got these doors. Then you got these robots that are going to knock people out. But what kind of debris do they, like, these are not army robots. Like, and then they also find out later they're equipped with C4? Like, what did they expect?
These are like war. These are like robots that you would see in like dismantling bombs in the Hurt Locker.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And it's like, oh, we need those at the mall to protect House of Almonds.
But I also found them, like, when they were presented and, you know, their features were shown, they just had little plastic pincers that didn't look sharp and didn't even seem to do it. Like, they would launch it on a little string, but the string would look limp.
Yeah. Also, yes, and the pace at which they moved was comical.
Yeah.
I mean, they just slowly glided.
Yeah, like, I feel like they never probably move more than, like, 8 miles an hour. Like,
and are so loud. And then there keep being instances where they sneak up on someone, which is, frankly, impossible. Because it is empty. Empty. Devoid of sound.
And just
like... And they appear to, my favorite fucking part of this movie, this fucking mental movie, is that the robots are continuously looking to each other to check in on shit that's going on. Like, bro, are you getting this? Bro, he doesn't even know we're awake. Like, they keep, like, they're fucking robots. And they're having, like, subtle, like, weird relationships with each other.
And the weird thing about these robots are they only malfunction because, like something out of Frankenstein, lightning hits the highest point of the mall.
Yes, three times.
Three times.
Three lightning strikes in, like, 30 seconds.
And they're such terrifying lightning strikes, too. Like, and everyone's just walking to their cars. Like, yeah. No one seems to react to the... bolts of lightning.
The mall.
And they're not attached to the thing that's getting hit. They just, I guess, are... That's like,
well, I
it's
think
like
they made a big point of, like, oh, they're online. You know, the idea being, like, when whatever that was, that whatever they hit...
In the control room.
In the control room, they're always online.
The control room for the mall that looks like it belongs in, like, a nuclear facility. Like, it's a control room from, like, the China Syndrome.
Well, the other thing about this movie, I have a couple questions. Well, first I would say everybody in this movie is disgusting. Like, there is something disgusting about every person. Like, the chef.
Let's go person by person. Person by person. Let's pick them apart. Why are you disgusting, chef?
Like, this is...
The smoking chef?
With a
smoking chef.
Why is fork on his shirt?
Which looked like something out of, like, you can't do that on television, barf. Like, I'm gonna pull him up. But
there's so much setup. Yeah.
There's barf. Who wipes his spatula on his chest and then continues to make food.
By the way, he's at the front of the house, too. Yeah. Like, could you imagine walking into a restaurant
back in the kitchen.
That guy? Yep.
I sadly feel like I'm Max 4 years away from playing this part. Like, I am, like, maybe 4 years away from playing this part. That's the world I'm living in, guys.
And then... There's the guy who's taking over for the security guy.
Wait, there's the restaurant patron.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh.
Okay. Well, he asks to eat a stick of butter.
He says more butter.
Honestly, I felt really disturbed by that moment.
Well, because he also, they say, is real handsy.
Suze
warns the other one, be careful, he's real handsy.
That's fine, but what
That's
I saw...
Fine.
No, of course it's not fine.
June likes a man who's
shocked by that reveal.
What I saw in that moment of him saying another stick of butter or whatever the line was, I saw the actor having to say a line like that. And he looked so... devastated. I wish we could watch it because he barely looks up. And it's not a choice, guys.
No, it's a choice.
It's not a choice.
He's not looking up because he's so enthralled by the meal.
No, it's not. He's like, here I am, you know, playing this part.
Here I am. I'm in a movie.
And this is what it comes to.
Yeah.
Even
devastating.
This piece of pizza is disgusting.
Yeah.
A piece of pizza falls on the floor, and it looks like it's more corn than pizza.
Yeah. And they also... They also stage this in a way such that it's only because they can bend down to pick up the debris that they can have a private conversation. It's like they have to break stuff to be like, hey, are we getting out of here or what? Wait, what? You can't just talk to each other on the job?
The other thing, like, well, then there's a security guard who comes in who's like, sorry I'm late. It was all you can eat downstairs. And then proceeds to pick up the guy's, like, half-eaten donuts. Like, well, I'll eat this, too. Like,
my favorite of all of these people, janitor bullies.
Oh, my God.
Janitor bullies. One janitor's, like, mopping up slop. Two other janitors come by and are like, fuck you, nerd. Oh, look at this fucking nerd mopping up, doing his job. You fucking nerd. It's like, and it are all janitors. What's happening right now?
And it seems
what is the hierarchy of janitors?
It seems like they're making fun of him, like, that, like, they're all doing the same jobs. Like, you're going to be here all night cleaning up this stuff. But it's like, yeah, like he's got to
clean up. That's our job.
That's the job.
That's our job. And the janitor bullies look like fucking nerds too. Like one of them, the mean one looks like Stephen Tobolowsky.
I was really hoping when the robot came around, I was like, well, he's not going to hurt him because he works at the mall.
Yeah.
And he's protecting people
and
who
he
works
had a
at
badge
the mall. And I thought, just show him the badge. Show him the badge.
And then he does show him the badge.
Here's the thing, though, Mary. I think the robots have gone fucking nuts from those lightning bolts.
Right.
I think
that's not a debate. That's not a debatable. They did. They like there should be no thinking.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
I'll tell you what else is disgusting in this movie. The furniture store.
Oh, yeah.
Furniture.
Can you imagine?
In the
store. No.
Can you imagine buying furniture that people have been fucking on?
Disgusting.
I really want to talk about that sex scene.
For hours?
Yeah. This is
I was surprised. It was only 10 seconds long, and then I fell asleep.
You're the king. You're the king.
This... I literally felt like I got an STD by watching this movie.
Actually, I had the thought, a fleeting thought of like, I've been in a position where, you know, I've been told to just buy the model, you know, the car and the dealership, like just buy the thing and don't, you know.
The on display model?
Yes, because it's always cheaper.
Very pushy.
Well, it's always cheaper to just buy whatever's on the floor. And watching this scene, I thought, never again will I buy any floor models of anything.
Although they did say the sheets were clean. They put clean sheets on everything.
But by the way, these are...
But they're not going to take those sheets off, Mary. I don't know. They put new sheets on for themselves, but those are the sheets that we would be... Well, I guess we wouldn't be buying the sheets.
My point exactly.
Hey, everybody. We have to take a brief break in the episode, but it's okay because I want to tell you about our sponsors because today's episode is brought to you by Thumbtack. Ooh, yeah. Thumbtack makes it so easy to find and hire skilled local professionals for anything on your list, from home improvement to event planning to personal wellness. Thumbtack connects you with professionals offering more than 1,100 different services nationwide. Simply tell Thumbtack a little bit about your project, and then within 24 hours, you'll have up to 5 estimates from local pros that match your criteria. Ooh, I love your criteria. Check out their prices, check out their reviews, and then chat with them directly if you need more information. Pretty much anyone that you need to hire is on Thumbtack. Carpet cleaners, personal trainers, photographers, even piano teachers. Hot. We'll help you find pros in over 1,000 different categories in 50 states. All right. I will say that I have visited some Thumbtack's website, and it's pretty great. I had a mailbox that I needed to be built recently, and I found an amazing local handyman to construct a very simple wood mailbox. It is great. So no matter what the project, you'll find all the help you need at Thumbtack. The website's so easy. You're going to love it. Thumbtack makes it easy to find pros for pretty much anything you do and you need done. Download the app or try it now at thumbtack.com. That's thumbtack.com. Ho! What's up, people? Let me tell you, here's the deal. Casper Mattress. Oh, man. You done did it again, all right? You forgot about Casper? Now I'm reminding you that this is one of the most outrageously comfortable mattresses that you've ever heard about, okay? Yeah, people are talking about it on podcasts, sure. Does it live up to the hype? Oh, well, let me tell you, real customers have said sleeping on a Casper is like sleeping on a brioche. It's like the tinkling of baby laughter in the moonlight. If you had to compare sleeping on the Casper mattress to anything, what would it be? And I would say baby puppies who were dead. Hear me out. Just because it would be soft and I wouldn't want those puppies to be moving. There's nothing to do with the stench of dead baby puppies. It is a comfortable mattress. I've had a Casper mattress for a long time. It was more comfortable than my very expensive mattress, which I was kind of blown away by. And buying a Casper mattress is easy. You just order it online and it's delivered to your door in a compact, how did they do that size box? It's true. I was impressed. And it's available in the U.S., Canada, and now in the U.K. That's right. Get them mattresses, UK. All shipping and returns are completely free. We spend one third of our lives on mattresses, so it's important to sleep on a mattress before committing. We get that. If you don't like it after 30 days, send it back. Actually, you know what? They're going to give you 100 nights. Boom. Not even 30. 100! So go get that mattress, people. Check it out. And get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/how and use the code HOW. Terms and conditions do apply.
All right, we gotta play the
all of
the scene. Yeah,
we have to play all of this scene.
Just so you understand what I think, just because if you're listening to us, the first image that you think here. Well, you know, we could take it bit by bit.
Okay.
So here we go.
So this is the furniture store orgy.
Well,
store orgy.
But that's
well,
what I'm saying. Like,
when
you
talk
first,
about that, though.
No, when you first see this, you think this is the married couple who have gone back to their house to fuck. That's at least what I thought.
Because it all.
Oh, really?
It all, it
I
looks
never thought that.
Oh, I never thought
oh, really?
That in my life.
No. Didn't occur
you
to
didn't
me.
Think, oh, wow. So you thought they were right. Did you think they were in the house?
Yeah, I thought they were in a home.
Me too.
Oh, no. I thought they were fucking in the furniture store. Because I guess that's the kind of perverts June and I are.
Because the wife tempts the husband by going, I got these clean white underwear and bra. Like,
and he's like, finally.
Yeah.
They were my favorite couple.
It's like the
couple.
Ad of a job, like a Hanes ad. Like, that's how sexy this outfit is. I mean, you know, all right, here we go. This is how it goes.
Lady. You, got a license for that outfit?
Why, no, officer. I guess you're just gonna have to take me in.
So they present themselves. The
furniture store.
Okay.
Now I see them all.
Furniture store.
Across the store.
They are 7 feet away from these
furniture
people.
Furniture store.
Now, I will just say before we continue the next part, like, they're role-playing in a group sex.
Yes.
Like, there's an orgy.
By
and
the way,
like,
that's,
we're gonna role play,
that's so vulnerable.
Here's the thing. That's
so
what's crazy about the idea that they're not teenagers. Like, if these people are, I don't know, like, 25, even in their 20s, I find this really strange.
What?
Well, why
everybody
does
just fucking within 6 feet of each other?
I find it odd.
Yeah. Why does a married couple have to go to a furniture store to fuck?
Why are they married? Why are they married? And if they are married, which I suspect is not true. No, why are they still hanging out with the furniture store crew?
And why don't they go home?
Go home.
Go to your home.
Here's the thing. What's set up early on is that I don't Jenny or
Jesse or someone's having a crazy party at the furniture store.
Which is like six people
so
dancing.
So that woman, the married woman, says we have to go to support her.
Oh, okay.
Because she gets so insecure about her parties at the furniture store.
Yeah, the turnout.
No one ever comes
I'll
to
tell
them.
You what. I really liked Suze in the beginning, but she really goes crazy. Also, guys, heads up. If your girl is still fully dressed, don't get down to your boxers. Like, don't you be in your boxers while she's still fully dressed. It just is a little eager.
The camera now is panned over just a handful of feet to couple number two, where this amazing interaction happens.
I like pepperoni.
Oh, wait. Oh.
Oh, my God.
You smell like pepperoni.
Well, that's the way you feel.
Wait a minute.
What?
So I like pepperoni.
Oh. In that case...
So many bracelets.
All right, so wait. Mm-hmm. Now, hold on.
Why does she start humming?
Yeah. This is...
No
what, yes.
idea.
Why does...
Here's what I think.
Humming.
I have a theory about this. Yes. I have a theory. The actress went up to the director, and the scene ends, as written, the scene ends with, I like the smell of pepperoni. And then they're supposed to do it.
Right.
She went up to the director, and she said, hey, here's the thing. I'm a singer. Can we do a take? Where I face out, I start humming a like blues ballad, and then I will sing, and then you'll have that in the movie, and then that will make the scene that much more romantic and sexy.
Wait, you have a theory about what happened next?
He said yes.
I have a theory.
Okay.
I have a theory. So you say that to me, I'll be the guy.
Okay. Oh, wait, are you the director?
Yeah, I'm the director.
Okay, hi. This is so fun. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
You're doing great, kid. You're doing great.
Thank you. I don't know if you know this. I'm a singer. And I really think it would enhance the scene.
Uh-huh.
If I were to, I don't know, at some point when he says I smell like pepperoni, I'm insulted, obviously. And I'm sorry to interrupt.
Hey, we have to shoot 95 more pages in the next hour.
Okay. All right. All right. Yeah. Thanks.
And anyway, so I was thinking I would just enhance the scene by uh-huh. like stepping out and like uh-huh. sort of having like a moment of being heard.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll just disrobe.
Yeah, uh-huh,
but
uh-huh.
I'll hum a blues ballad.
You're going to hum a blues ballad? Okay, great. Well, as long as you pull your tits out, you can do whatever you want, sweetie.
You got a deal, mister.
As long as you pull those B cups out, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
B cups.
This is the crazy thing about this song. You're right. It's like a lullaby.
Yeah.
And what it sort of reads as though she's the character needs to kind of get herself
psyched up.
Yeah.
Because she's like,
she later is proven to be a straight up crazy
lunatic.
Person.
And then all right, so then the camera pans from them. As there. So it goes over to a guy going down on his girlfriend.
No, he's trying to.
Or trying to.
Michael.
What? Now?
You know I don't allow that.
Well, you allowed it last week, didn't you?
What do you
know? I don't allow that.
I seem to recall it.
That's right. Just another lady out there telling another guy how much she hates being gone down on.
I have to say, she may just be uncomfortable with it in a furniture store.
Yeah,
which
perhaps.
I can understand.
Perhaps, or maybe
I can understand.
Or maybe she just keeps finding gum in her pussy.
I know he never stops chewing gum.
And it's like, listen, I love it, but I don't allow it from you because you keep. I got toxic shock twice last year because there was gum in my pussy. Fucking, this guy chews so much gum. It's bananas.
I pulled a few moments.
She's like, I found a golf ball-sized big league chew.
Again, adding to my thing that everyone is disgusting, and I think the idea is that the script was probably pretty bad, and everyone's like, I'm going to dress up this character. I'm gonna give my. Yes. Everyone's like, I'm gonna give my character like a limp.
A thing.
Yeah, a thing. Like, what do I
like
got?
Like a little like, tick, like a character
and
tick.
And you think there's a commentary? There's three commentary tracks to this movie. But I will let this one just.
Wait, are they from Protector 1, Protector 2, and Protector 3?
It's just a lot of.
Have a nice day.
Have a nice day.
I remember when we were shooting this scene. Have a nice day. It was so hot on set this day. Have a nice day.
All three of them are real estate agents now. They're great. All right, so this is just great. A little insight.
You'll notice he is chewing gum in every scene. I mean, when he's in bed with the very, very attractive Susie Slater, he is chewing gum. He was chewing four or five sticks at a time. And it's really annoying, and it's really funny, and that's all because of John. He's an incredibly inventive actor.
But I agree. I thought John was an excellent actor. That was my opinion. I was like, this John guy is good.
He made a choice.
He's really good.
I wanted to ask you guys about this thing because I was confused about this. The full body lace leotard, was that ever a thing?
Like it's actually back.
Oh yeah, like a bodysuit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That all right. Then that's normal.
Yeah.
All right. Because.
That checks out.
All right, I didn't. I never saw. I never saw stepping in and pulling up a lace.
Keep in mind that scene is at the shopping mall, the locker room at the shopping mall.
There is
where everybody from the mall just showers up and hangs
See,
out.
See, I thought that locker room was just for the pizza place employees.
Really? Now, that's even crazier.
You're right.
That's. Can you imagine a pizza restaurant? Can you imagine working a shift at even most of a pizzeria?
Too, where the front of the house looks like what we already saw.
The guy's wiping his spatula on his thing, and there is a full-on spa-level locker room where people are just hanging out. Oh, I would love that.
There's so much to kind of get into. I do.
You okay?
Yeah.
Paul's short circuiting.
Well, lasers.
Yeah, lasers.
I just killed four people in the audience.
I love. I loved that they had the idea sneak out through the vents. Well, it's that. Okay, it's that thing of like. It was like they wanted it to be teenagers, but it wasn't. And the idea that the first thing they decide to do is we need to get some weapons. The guys are like, we need to get guns. And that they go off and send the women into the heating vents. And then they get overheated in less than a minute. In less than 1 minute, it's as if the heating vent is 500 degrees and they are being cooked inside.
They said the heat was turned up.
Yeah, sure.
And the heat in those two people across heating vents really get hot. Like, I've never seen that, like, I think like they didn't figure out, like, the heating vent's not that wide to be able to be, like, two people shoulder by shoulder. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's like a 5 foot wide heating vent? That seems big to me, right?
It's
like Bruce Willis is in there in Die Hard, and I feel like that's like, it's supposed to be
but
small.
But this is a mall.
Yeah.
Maybe you're right.
Oh. A lot of area.
A lot of square footage. Yeah.
And a lot of just like very easily accessible firearms.
Off a discount rack. It says 30% off and the guy picks up a handgun. Like there's no case. They don't even pretend to go behind the counter. It's like front of store item.
Yeah. It's like where an impulse buy is.
Yeah.
It's like where they put like M&Ms and stuff because you're like, ah, fuck it. Except that it's like a shotgun.
A rack of shotguns and the bullets seem close by too.
Oh, yeah.
They don't search for anything. Like, load that shit up. Right, 2, 3.
And how do the robots find the humans? Didn't like it.
I don't know how they found them. They're
patrolling each floor.
What's that?
They're patrolling each floor.
Right, but like...
How, do they smell them or...
I think they can hear them, but not very well, because they get into a gunfight at one point with one of them. The other two don't show up.
Well, this is the interesting thing, because to me, the at the very end of the movie, not to jump forward, but the woman...
No spoilers, Jim.
The woman, our final gal, saves herself just simply by hiding under a shelf. And...
They could have done this the whole time.
They should have just all gotten under a table somewhere.
Here's the thing.
And just kibble in front of them.
Yes, and just stayed there.
The robots weren't looking for them.
Right.
They kept going and finding the robots.
Because the robots are just patrolling and killing anyone on patrol.
All they needed to do is close the doors to the furniture shop.
The robots were doing them.
What's that?
The robots were just doing them. They were doing themselves as robots. They weren't really looking for
trouble. So you're on the robot side.
Kind of.
Yeah. Well, this is. Do you understand how big this is?
No, it's huge.
That you are on the side of robots. Your sworn enemies.
It did really feel though that they were trying to rile the robots up.
Hey,
and they were possessed.
All they had to do was hide until morning. That's it. All they had to do was hide until morning, which they easily could have done.
But they didn't know that.
In any store under any display.
But they didn't know that because the minute they went to go hide, the robots kept on like lasering through doors to like go get them.
I would love it too when the robots would hide somewhere. And then like when the one robot killed Gum Chewer and then like set his body so and she came in and was like, oh my God, you're dead. And then the robot was like, ha ha, I'm here. Like the robots had like real dramatic flourish to them.
The robots seemingly also opened door, like their hands never seemed to open doors, but the like there's one door that clearly looks like it should be opened by being pushed, but they're just kind of like, I wonder if I have that clip, but I don't know if there's a telekinesis.
Paul, can you wait 1 second?
Yeah, please.
How do I know that actor?
Well, I had the same...
Can somebody tell me what movie from my childhood I know him from?
I had the same thing. He is kind of around in like an adjacent movie, but I found it to be more interesting about where he is now.
Where is he now?
He is this gentleman.
Oh, what are we going to see? Whoa!
By the way, I'm on board.
He is. He has a headshot up on his IMDb. He is
that
shirtless.
That is not a headshot.
He is pecs are out. He's a silver fox.
Is that a dad bod?
No, that's not a dad bod.
No,
okay. I'm still trying to hone in on exactly what a dad bod is.
That's like
He's like that's a hunky bod, right?
Does he have a tooth around his neck?
We still call these guys hunks, right?
He is now a talent agent.
What if that was your agent?
Would you need a picture like that for your agent?
What if you were like, hey man, I want you to keep repping me, but like, you gotta take those shots down. It's super weird.
Yeah, but I think he's on General Hospital too. I
feel like all right.
But he looks so familiar to me, but I think he just looks like somebody else.
Well, he looks like John Travolta a bit.
Yeah.
Sure. So every time you're kind of looking at him,
sure,
he seems
a little
familiar.
Bit like Jason Gedrick, Iron Eagle.
Oh yeah, about that. This is whenever they do come into contact with the robots, they get into this like firefight with them, and it seems like a lot of firepower is being thrown at each other, and it always is missing.
Nobody uses cover.
Yeah, they're just openly firing at this robot and seemingly hitting. And then the lasers are... There's so many lasers that are... Everyone's a bad shot in this movie. Like, so many lasers not hitting.
What I can't think of, my big thing is, this movie features people constantly just standing in the line of fire and not getting out of the way, really.
Well, I have a lot of issues with the way that people react. When one of their friends catches fire...
I had that too. They just like, oh, what a shame.
They look, they stare their friend down like,
And she's
watch
also...
Watch her burn.
But by the way, that's Suze. And you know what? It's her fault. They were safe in the heat ducts.
But there was a long time where she was laying in the middle of the floor like this.
Oh my God, yes.
She could have crawled away.
While the robot slowly lumbers towards her from behind. I thought it was going to like run her over.
Yeah,
almost,
that's what I thought too.
As if that was the setup, but I'm sure the robot couldn't do that. And so instead, it shoots a laser at the kerosene can she's carrying,
And she goes up in flames, and no one does a goddamn
thing. Look at it.
They stare her
guys,
down.
Because I think what they realized is like, this lady's bringing us down. She's having panic attacks left and right. Yep. Like, we're going to let her go right now.
Yes.
And we're going to honor her from 10 feet away and watch her body burn out. Respectfully.
Yes.
Watch her burn.
I think you're right. I 100% think you're right. I would love to just straight up rewatch this whole movie right now.
I also like when they do kill one of the robots. He's like, "What's that?" And the guy's like, "Robot blood."
Oh yeah. What? Well, no.
No, it is not.
The crazy thing about this gang of friends too is whenever someone gets upset, like when the brunette woman has some sort of a moment where she's yelling at her husband or something.
Oh my God.
They immediately cover it with, "I'm so sorry. I guess it's just the situation."
She says this exact line. "I guess I'm just not used to being chased around the mall all night by killer robots."
I literally just pulled that up. It is the dumbest line
of all. It's unbelievable.
Because one of their friends is like, "We're dead meat." You're freaking around. It's like, really? Your friends have been killed?
I just want, before you press play, these jeans are too high-waisted.
First of all, they're khakis.
These khakis are too high-waisted.
By the way,
I know women love high-waisted pants. It's got to stop.
Really?
This is.
Whoa, wait, hold on, Jason.
Whoa, 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 whoa,
sir. Have you ever tried to wear low rise?
I can see everything in this.
I do think that high waisted pants, and look, I wear them. I wear a lot of high waisted jeans. With a tucked in shirt. I think I look cute. But I do think it's a look that women, I think we feel that we look better than men think we do.
I would like to direct your
direct your
eyes to Exhibit A. Like, I can see her labia majora and her labia minora, and I'm pretty sure I can make out her clitoral hood. Like, I don't know what's going on. I shouldn't see any of this. In this scene, not in a locker room, where the woman is wearing full wardrobe, I should not be able to make out all of the shapes of her vagina.
You shouldn't be able to see her clitoral neighborhood.
I think she has an issue with clothing. I think she just likes tight and high clothing, because she, at one point, gets injured on her arm, does not take off her sweater, just wraps her sweatered arm where the injury is. So she's put a bandage over her sweater where the wound is, and then so it's bleeding through the sweater, which is then bleeding through the bandage. Like,
that is, by the way, a surefire way to get a wound infected.
Yeah.
Well, even before this scene, as soon as they're attacked in the furniture store, I mean, the women are all half naked, and as soon as they're attacked and like run to the back room, they all start putting on their shirts. They've all been fucking in front of their very close friends, half naked, and like then get dressed for the robots?
Yeah.
Well, their life, they got to get out of the mall. They got to go get a
But stick. I agree
Look,
with June.
I understand.
I agree with June. The rest of the movie, they should have been naked. I agree. I also think, like June, the movie would have been better if the women didn't wear tops
what
at
I'm
all.
What I'm saying is, like, if, ladies, once the get tops the fuck out off, of this mall
yeah,
now.
Don't bother putting a top on. Let those things flop around. Get out of here. Get
those
your priorities
things.
Straight. June and I are on the same page about this.
Finally. Well, let's hear the dumbest line of all time.
I guess I'm just not used to being chased around a mall in the middle of the night by killer robots.
Good boyfriend.
My favorite part is same character, brunette. Is at one point has a calculator and is making calculations.
I got that too.
You have that too. Okay, good.
I mean, you can explain it either way.
This I couldn't understand what this was even about.
I feel like this
before
is
before this scene when they're driving to the mall. They're in. I think, okay, and correct me if I'm wrong, have started a business with their wedding money.
Correct.
An auto repair.
Auto repair business.
Yep.
The two of them. And she's great at it and he's not so great. And
I think what
we're supposed to think is because they're not that great at it that the business is not doing that well. But they're still going to try to have a fun night.
Right.
We spent all of our money on this auto repair shop. We can't go out and party, so let's go fuck in a mall. We spent all our wedding money opening this business.
Oh, so you're saying they couldn't like go out to dinner?
Yeah.
See, I felt like they spent all their wedding money on the business and so now had to like fuck in front of other people for money. But I'm serious. What is this?
What is
she calculating?
Well, I think this is her having a mental breakdown. but we'll hear. Like, I have a theory here.
According to my calculations, provided we survive the night, of course, we're going to be in hock to this place for the next 85 years.
How many tune-ups is that?
Just a sec.
She's so annoyed that he asked.
2,900,431.
Maybe we should raise our rates.
That's we're gonna need a bigger boat of this movie.
What is she saying in the beginning of that? That she's 85 years. What is she?
I got it.
I know
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. She thinks that they are going to be financially responsible
for the damage in the mall.
For the damage done to the mall by the robots that have literally murdered their friends.
They should not be small business owners.
This is what. So while hiding from the killer robots, she is calculating their financial responsibility. She's so convinced they're going to get fucked somehow by the system. She's like, if we manage to survive the night against killer robots, we're for sure going to have to pay for the damage to the mall.
Well, that's why I feel like
the mall will, not be responsible.
She should be like,
clearly,
we're going to be rich.
Set for life.
But that's why I feel like she's having a clear mental break. It's like, should we just hide here? Well, I'll just calculate how much. And that means that she's also calculating damage. Like, we blew up that cigarette machine.
Yeah.
Flower vase.
They took these guns.
Even look like she's hitting a calculator either. It looks like she's just tapping a notebook.
But like, it's not even a long form calculator. So that means that she's not made a single mistake. She's like 200. It's like a very basic calculator. Well, look, I think that they basically were like, hey, look, we need this scene because the movie right now is coming at 64 minutes. So
by this logic, she could just as easily be like, oh no, we killed that janitor. We did this.
Yeah.
Like she's taking personal responsibility for everything.
Well, and I thought for sure that her mechanic skills were going to come back at some point to
Wouldn't
help
that have been great?
Dismantle a robot. That never happened.
Well, they don't even let the girl who's good at shooting fucking shoot a gun.
No.
After she's shown like she can like sharpshoot, like bam, it explodes. Then the next thing when everyone's shooting guns, she's like standing there without a gun, like cowering behind a mannequin. It's like, give her the fucking gun.
Okay, I've got another question. Too. When they're like, when it's her idea, smartly, to create a diversion using the mannequins, why are they hidden amongst the mannequins? If your idea is, let's put the mannequins out so the robots shoot the mannequins, don't mix yourselves in. Because it's the mannequins allow you to go hide. That's the point. You're not like, ooh, now we're camouflaged within, because they'll just shoot everything. What are you, stupid? Fucking go hide somewhere. And they're all like,
Listen,
assholes.
Listen, I think when you know it's a mall movie, you expect that our characters are going to be pretending to be mannequins at some point. I think they worked backwards from
this
that.
This movie needed more music. I feel like this movie needed more like weird 80s music.
I mean,
this is
stuff. Rejected John Carpenter music.
Yeah.
Food. Picnics. Potlucks, dinner parties, barbecues. Good food is essential to a successful summer. And now it's easier than ever to create delicious summer meals with Blue Apron. Because now, for less than $10 a meal, Blue Apron will deliver seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients right to your door. I've been chowing down on Blue Apron since the end of time, eating their delicious seared chicken and creamy pasta salad with summer squash and sweet peppers, or just jumping into that chili butter steak with Parmesan potatoes and spinach. Oh, I'll eat it all. And you know why? Because it's easy and flexible. Oh, it's so flexible. You can customize your recipes every week, and you can choose a delivery option that fits your lifestyle. Plus, their freshness guarantee promises that every ingredient arrives ready to cook, or they will make it right. Just think about the meals they have in July, besides the ones I mentioned. Creamy shrimp rolls with quick pickles and sweet potato wedges. Fresh basil fettuccine pasta with sweet corn and cupinelli pepper. Yeah, cupinelli pepper. Now check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/bonkers. You will love how good it feels and it tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/bonkers. Blue Apron. It's a better way to cook. Before we go to the audience, because there's more to talk about, but I do
like
want to talk about...
montage?
What?
Like the opening montage?
Well, the opening montage. I want to talk about...
Oh, yeah, that opening montage.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that then, because I wanted to... Can anyone describe why the dads were fighting over the video game thing? Like, so a kid is playing a video game, a dad, or I assume a dad, knocks the kid out, then he starts playing, then another dad's like, get out of there, and he starts playing. It just seemed like an odd, like, commentary on, like, is that what was happening in the video game places of our time?
Things that happen in a mall, you know?
I guess it felt like the whole opening was, okay, this is, you know, consumerism at its height, but it's also, like, clumsiness at its height. Like, this is the age of, you know, excess, and also, like, we all forgot how to walk.
Well, especially when you see some big boobs. Like, when those women in bikinis come out, the guy is, like, carrying a bunch of boxes, like, go, 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 he falls. And then he's like a dog that whose eyes pop out of his head in like an old like Tex Avery cartoon. He's like,
Ooga.
I don't even understand that instinct of like a guy like you know walking down the street. That does not happen, right?
I would love it if like the guy saw the women on the escalator and just like shit his pants. It was just like. Like, that's the equivalent of what's happening. He's just...
And who were those women, by the way?
It was like a beauty competition.
Yeah,
and I do think
at the mall.
But they do modeling, like, searches and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mary?
I would buy that at the mall.
That's a good segue. How were you discovered?
Well, there I was. I did
at
work
House of Almonds.
At House of Almonds. I did work at a Discovery Channel pop-up store in a mall.
Brag.
Really?
And there was a locker room.
Oh, wow.
No, there wasn't.
Was there a luggage tent in the middle of the mall floor that just in case you fell from an upper story, the empty luggage would...
Also had stuffed animals in the tent. It was full of stuffed animals.
Our hero falls off into a just oddly... not a luggage store, just like a luggage pop-up. Because that's the most common thing that you would maybe have in a mall, a luggage store.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, I do want to talk about, this is the thing that blew my mind. So whenever the robots would kill somebody, like, thank you, have a nice day, right? They would say that. So when our lead actress kills the robot, like gets them all dead at the end, she says, have a nice day. And to me, I'm like, wouldn't you want to subvert it? Wouldn't you want to, like, there's nothing clever about it.
I did have a nice day.
Yeah, or like, yeah, like, have a nice life. Like, you know, like, it's just simply like, oh, yeah, you said that. Now I say that. Like it's
and
like,
not even the full phrase either.
Yeah.
Well, half
and
of it.
Also, I couldn't understand why they were programmed to say have a nice day. If they are, they're not robots. They're not like welcome robots at the mall.
Customer service.
They're only there.
And they're only working at night.
They're only there at night
yeah.
to catch thieves.
I agree.
I did think, though, that final line, like, I feel like they didn't, nobody had like a line like, you bucket
nice
of bolts,
death.
Like, you know, go back, you know, now you're on the discount rack. Like, there's a million things you could say, or like, you know, like, I always thought you needed another coat of paint. Like, whatever the thing was.
Paul,
like, yeah.
How many of these did you write?
1, 2. Let me get my calculator out. 2,415,000. No, but it's like that. Like, it just is so anticlimactic. And then she walks away from saying her have a nice day line with that limp. And I really, for a moment, thought it was going to be like Usual Suspects, like a Kaiser Soze moment
yeah.
where that limp went away and she was
yeah.
like, the robots were all my idea.
I'm a robot.
And lasers come out of her eyes. But yeah, the ending is really anticlimactic. I mean, they kill it and then the guy that they think is dead is like, nope, I was fine. And
toilet paper.
And the only people who did not have sex survived the movie.
And that's how it should be.
Yep. The fornicators were punished
finally.
By the robot gods.
Well, let's go into the crowd and let's talk to them about some stuff. All right, here we go. Oh my gosh, you are... you've done this show. You've sang our song so many times. Let's see, sir. Your name, your title for this film, and besides Chopping Mall, and your question.
My name's Tim. I'd go with the original title, Killbots.
Yes, the movie was called Killbots. It was released in the theaters and then pulled because no one wanted to see a movie called Killbots. They released it a few months later as Chopping Mall, and was much more successful.
And the doctor that you talked about who's at the top of the movie, his name is Dr. Carrington. And I was wondering if it's possible that he's the father of Michael Carrington, and this is a shared universe with Grease 2.
Wow. Talk amongst yourselves up there.
I'd say maybe, but he wasn't British, and Michael is, so it just doesn't seem likely.
So, stupid question, Tim. Stupid question.
Sorry. Next question. Let's see. Next question. Sir, what's your name, your alternate title, and your question?
My name's Chris. The alternate title, I think, should be Laserbots.
Laserbots, got it. Love it.
Because they didn't chop anybody.
You're right. They did not chop it.
I was just...
They sometimes throat punctured. Puncture bots.
They roadhoused that first guy.
Yeah, there's a lot of throat ripping, and I don't understand... Why they wouldn't just use lasers at all times?
Always use a laser.
Well, I guess I don't also know, like, what would a chop be?
Well, like a slicing them up.
Oh, okay. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just wondering if they had any lawsuits from all the big name advertisements that were in the movie, like GE and Coca-Cola and all those.
Yeah, nothing was covered in the movie. Like, nothing at all was...
I think all those companies were happy to have this... As a representation of their products, especially probably the paint company, that's like, apparently our paint is incredibly flammable.
Yeah. And so many different shades. Look at all the different shades.
That's not a good sign for like somebody redoing their house.
I mean, that store blew up.
It really did. That was the one shot that was, yeah.
And how, I mean, she, in what? I'm going to say 1.5 minutes, emptied 70 gallons of paint. They... Quick cut to her being like, crank, Greg, she opened so much paint.
Okay, your name, your alternate title, and your question.
My name is Bree. I'd go with Furniture Store Fuck Sesh Interrupted.
Say it again, Paul.
Wait, what is it?
Furniture Store Fuck Sesh Interrupted.
Okay.
It's a longer title, but I like it. I like Fuck Sesh Interrupted.
FSFSI?
I buy it.
I don't know. Anyway, what guest appearance from another How Did This Get Made movie all-star would be better to help improve the film? Would it be Gene Simmons' character in Runaway or Hollywood Montrose from Mannequin 2 on the Move?
Oh, wow, this is interesting. So we've done a few mall-based films. Who would we like to see? Or mall-based and robot-based movie. So we have Gene Simmons as the evil inventor of the spider robot from the Tom Selleck movie Runaway.
I will say, I don't know that I would choose Hollywood, but I would have loved it if one of the characters in this movie was a come-to-life mannequin in the mall. So if they were at the furniture storage and were like, and then one of the mannequins was just like, I'm here too, let's do it.
What if when the robots were firing at the mannequins, one came to life like, ah, I'm gonna die.
Like here's things I want. I don't want aliens versus predator. I want mannequin versus robot.
Okay, MVR. Okay, so your name, your alternate title, and your question.
Name is Robert. Alternate title would be Chop Till You Drop.
I like that one. Good.
There's no chopping, it's more pinching.
Yeah, okay, but I'll take it, yeah.
And my question is, are the robots possessed? Because, like, they're totally fucking with that guy in the beginning of the movie, the guy, inside the security station. What's going on with that?
I don't think they're possessed. I just think they think they're hilarious. That's what I meant by they kept looking at each other like, get a load of this.
I also like the guy holding up a centerfold just like, oh yeah. Does that happen at work?
Fuck yeah.
But I think what your question speaks to a larger point, and what you were saying too, Jason, like the personality of the robots, it's hard to pin down because they don't feel evil to me.
Wow.
It doesn't feel like their motivations are purely bad.
Questioned the moral goodness of BB-8.
I know.
You are on board for three murderous robots.
No, I think they felt...
misunderstood? Question mark?
They felt like spoiled brats. You know, but they didn't
feel... So they were the teenagers of the movie.
Yes, they felt like teens. Like a bunch of white male teens.
That's the teen fuck fest.
So they weren't invited to the fuck fest, so they went out and
interesting.
Killed?
Interesting.
All right, we've uncovered something. I don't know what. Sir, your name, your alternate title, and your question.
My name is Bill. Alternate title is Mall of Killmerica. Question is, during the scene that they had the furniture storgy,
A lot of good. It fucking works. A lot of good punning over
here. Doesn't
it
feel good to say? Doesn't it feel great to say? Storgy.
It's amazing. The song that was playing during that, when they were dancing, was a song called Streetwalkin', followed up with the line, "It's the best that I can do," which is the theme for Roger Corman's Streetwalking movie as well. So this is also a shared universe with Streetwalkin'.
Wow, all right, so we're going deep into the Roger Corman,
the Corman verse.
I love that Streetwalking. You know, the one thing that I noticed in this movie too, and it's just, again, goes to the laziness of some moments of it, is there's a PA announcement, was like, attention, there's a lost child in the lingerie department. And then they go, answers to the name Steven. To the name?
So that means, that means somebody was like, Mark, Peter, Billy, William, Frank, Mitch, Glenn, Gary, Marcus, Ross.
Why
Ross
would
Geller,
you ever go like, what, when you
Chandler
just go,
Bing.
But even when it finally works, when you go, whose name is Steven?
Yeah.
Through process of elimination, we found out.
I don't know.
It's
I think
Steven.
I've done everything. Steven? Yes. It's Steven. By the way, smart kid. Found him in the lingerie department. Kid gets it.
Your name, your alt title, and your question.
My name is Cecily, and I don't really have a good title, like Easily Avoidable Decisions, the film. And then I just wanted to point out that on the Wikipedia page, there's a blurb where it says that it's one of the only films where when they aired it on TV, they had to make it longer by like 20 minutes. Like they extended it to a 90-minute film.
That is amazing.
What?
Because it couldn't make, I guess, they probably have a two-hour slot that TV needs to fill.
So with the
commercial.
Full credits and everything.
And commercials.
Yeah.
And commercials.
And opening montage.
Well, it's only 77 minutes, so even a 90-minute movie is the normal two-hour filler. Right. That's crazy. Where did they find this extra footage?
They added like the scene where like the virgins are watching the old movie. Like they just extended that for a really long time.
Just
they
watching.
showed 11 minutes of that movie. You saw the third act of a monster movie, just close up on a television in the furniture store.
Who has a good question? We have one last question tonight. All, by the way, everybody asking questions are getting some comic books from our friends over at Coliseum of Comics, and also zines from Daniel Joel Katz, who makes his own zines about movies. Who has a good one? Who feels really confident? Oh wow, this guy feels really confident. Well, all right, no animated hands. All right. Because you have a book. I see a book. Books always make me feel like there is some thought here. All right, let's see.
Oh, and a blazer.
And a book and a blazer. All right, let's see. All right, sir, here you go. Your name, your alt title.
Well, we're going to Largo. I wore a blazer.
I like it. It's respectful.
And a pocket square.
I want people to start dressing up as the characters from these movies when they come here, but you didn't do that. Here you go.
Name's Brian. Rambo Graham.
Okay, great.
So I want to bring up the women in the beginning with the bikinis. They're wearing sashes. And what they said were, the Park Plaza Mall, the future is now, have a ball, and take the kids.
So they were like a walking advertisement for the mall. That's amazing.
Take by the kids.
The future is now. What if you just like saw them wandering independently? So there's just a woman with a sash that says, take the kids.
Yeah, they have some to stay
creeps,
together.
Some creeps like, I got the go-ahead. I got the go-ahead that I've been looking for. I finally got a message from God. Take the kids.
Before
the future is now is pretty great, too.
Before we get into the second opinions, because there's not many, I just wanted to show this, again, some commentary clip. So just if you thought... The direct, like, just if you thought, oh, by the way, here you go, here's the take the kids. This is just a little supercut of the directors and what they think about stuff. I'll let their words speak for themselves.
As I've been for the last 50 years,
forever.
I said, that girl's for me. Let's put her in the picture.
She qualifies.
So Roger wanted some nudity in this picture. And he said, at least two girls or three girls have to get naked. So Barbara Crampton agreed to do nudity, and so did Susie Slater. And I think I had one naked girl walk by here just to get an extra pair of breasts in the movie. There she goes.
I think at one point when Barbara had seen this movie, she had said, I don't know if it was to us or to somebody else, I have lovely breasts, don't I? Well, I think the answer is yes. It helps to have hot chicks on the set.
It does. It certainly does. Especially, it distracts people.
And it's good to have a great-looking chick who knows how to make Molotov cocktails.
Absolutely.
I'm so deeply rattled by that director.
I know. I see your face.
I am so deeply rattled. And just a little PSA for the actresses in the audience. You never have to show your tits in a movie. Someone asks you to do it while you're there. I've been asked. You don't have to do it unless you want to, and then you should. But
and I'm gonna
if
just,
you don't want to, you don't have to.
You should suggest humming a blues ballad instead.
I mean, that was a really disturbing commentary.
Oh,
yeah. So I just want to give it its weight. It's really fucking horrible.
I want to work with them.
This movie brought to you by Creeps.
What?
I mean, wow.
Still at it after all these years.
Creeps.
We can't be stopped.
What a
creepy
fucking pig.
Creeps. Creeps. Holy moly.
Disgusting.
And so proud of being creeps.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap. When I heard that last night, like, yeah, it always helps to have a hot chick on set. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember if she said this to us or to somebody else or if I'm making this up entirely, which is more likely the case, but she said I have really lovely breasts, and I agree. I am a creep.
This is the original poster for Killbots, just a big picture of the robot, which they clearly then just replaced with a mall. Obviously, we had an opinion about this film, but there are other people out there that had a different opinion. It's now time for second opinions. Here's David and Kate.
I have an opinion, but here it does not matter. At How Did This Get Made, second opinions are much better. Amazon has them all. Paul reads them out with glee. Second opinion bring much joy to all of you and me. Kumate.
And now here's Kate.
Hey, hey, just saw a really bad movie. Hey, hey, it couldn't end too soon. Hey, hey, it was a super bad movie, but I'd do just about anything for Jason, Paul, and June. Now I've got an opinion, and it's pretty low, but there's just some people for whom that isn't so. This is their opinion, their second opinion.
Amazing. Wow. Both winners. Holy moly.
That's how it's done.
That is how it is done.
Kate, David.
Amazing. Wow. Those were awesome. Holy cow. That was just great.
A lot of people are going to be driving home tonight really angry. Like, you should have gotten up there.
No.
You said you were going to. You should have.
That's the way to come. Come with some lyrics. Come with... That was awesome. Very good.
Great.
All right, so obviously second opinions here are a little bit hard to find.
Still waiting for a full band to show up someday. Does anybody have anything? Like, people like saxophones and guitars.
Where can we set up? All right, this one is from...
Can we get a sound check?
This one here is from Robin B. McGorm. This was back in 2013. Security robots, yes, they sound good. Trained to kill and shoot all trespassers, even forget to listen to all orders and commands, sound like little terrors to me. Well, on the first night, they do their job at a shopping mall that has some shop assistants staying for a bit of fun. The fun you do when your folks aren't home to interrupt your basic needs.
When your folks aren't home at the mall.
And then, first class entertainment that will not be forgotten too soon. Different and surprisingly marvelous to watch. Plenty of action and suspense that you wonder where the little horrors are, so you have to be on your toes at all times. Sit and relax, grab the popcorn, put your feet up, and rate this an A+ grade for an unforgettable enjoyment of a wonderful show. It's an odd...
A wonderful show?
A wonderful show, and seems to have like this like idea, like these little terrors getting in and mixing it up.
These scamps.
Yeah, this is the
these
one...
These incorrigible kill bots.
This one, like, got me a little bit... Like, I want to unpack it a little bit. This is a... this one was just written as one of my all-time favorite 80s horror movies. It's been a while since I last saw this movie, and it still gives me that guilty pleasure of seeing robots kill those teenagers.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
That's not a guilty pleasure.
That's a red flag, my friend.
Yeah.
Just then, like the feeling I get when I put kittens into buckets of water, this movie makes me feel what other people call alive.
And then goes, favorite scene was when the girl gets her head blown off by the laser beam. ... Love it! So if you...
I directed this movie. I'm a creep.
If you ever encounter Rob Robles, beware. All right, and then finally, this is from The Sultan of Sexy.
I believe it.
It goes like this. If you were in your 20s back when this came out, like I was, all you cared about was how much skin you saw and how much gore got thrown at you. There could have been a bit more skin, but I guess we can't have anything, everything. It's worth the money, even if Miss Maroney kept her clothes on. Darn it. 5 stars. So there we go.
Were these all written by the director?
These oddly also are all written within the late 2000s. This was written in 2010, that last one. The guy who likes to see teenagers get killed, that was in 2017. And then the first one was in 2013. These people were checking into this movie a little bit later. Obviously, we knew a little bit about this movie, but on our new spinoff show, How Did This Get Made? Origin Stories, Blake got to sit down with Kelly Maroney, and they did about an hour-long interview about the movie, and about a half an hour passes, and she calls him back to say...
Well, I noticed this when I first saw the screening of it, but I was kind of hoping nobody else would notice it, but everybody notices it. One of the things that really upsets me about the movie is that I go through the entire film with severe camel toe. I mean, severe camel toe. It's all you can look at. Nobody said a word to me the entire shoot. Now, Jim Wynorski, I can understand why he wouldn't say that. But the costume lady, one of my friends, I mean, I watch the movie and all I can think of, oh no, there's another camel toe shot. Oh no. And it's not just me. I was hoping, okay, I noticed that, but you know what? Nobody else is going to notice that. It's all over the internet, the camel toe.
Wow.
Yeah, so I just want everyone to know, I know.
I mean, didn't she feel it? That's so severe.
I feel like there's a lot of fabric inside. Like,
she had
like
to have
it
felt
is...
it. That's why she's making that face.
It is. It's more revealing than if she was nude. Somehow.
I was gonna say she did have sex in this movie with her own pants. I feel like people must have thought, like the chewing gum, it was a choice. It was like, oh, it's such a great idea that she would have such intense camel toe.
I mean, it's really prominent.
One other little thing to look for in this movie.
Do you think those are functional pockets?
I don't know what could be in them. One of the things that to watch for in the movie, and we weren't able to find it, but they shot this movie from 9 p.m. to 9 a.m. for 20 days straight. And so whenever you do see an extra, especially in the beginning, some people are dozing. Like they are falling asleep in the background because of the night shoots. So that's a little fact for you. Well, I think we talked about everything there is to talk about. We really got a whole viewpoint in here. Would you recommend the movie, Jason? Would you recommend?
100%.
June, would you recommend the movie?
I'm all twisted up here. I can't recommend it now.
Okay.
I would say no.
No. All right. Well, I feel like now, I think it was obviously not knowing what the directors were like. I would say, but besides that with Danny, it is fun to watch. I would argue that. All right. So there we go. But I don't want you to ever watch it.
Yeah, we'll talk about all of this later, but not good. It's not good.
So anyway, if you have an opinion that you would like to share about this, you can give us a call at 619-PAULASK, 619-PAUL-ASK. That's the number for our mini episode, and we can listen to your messages there. But let's talk about what everyone's got going on. Mary, what do you want to plug?
You can follow me on Twitter at mholland85, and I post about shows that I'm doing here at Largo and at UCB, and other things coming up. Check
You're
going to
be on Veep this season, which is very exciting.
Yes, on Veep this season. I did an episode of Drive Share on
Drive
Go 90.
Yes, Drive Share, which is on the show that Rob and I did, Rob Hubel and I, and that's on Go 90. Yeah, mm-hmm. Super fun stuff.
Yeah.
June?
Pass.
Yeah. Well, Grace and Frankie season
Grace
3
and Frankie comes out March 24th.
Right. Woo!
The third season.
It'll be out by the time this is out. Yes, that'll be good. And then Jason.
Yeah, I got nothing.
All right. All right. Well,
but you know, like I'll say, this podcast, like pass this podcast around. Isn't there something
tripod.
Right now where you're telling
tripod.
People to
tripod, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Tripod. Tripod.
So
try this pod.
Are we supposed to tell people about a podcast to listen to? Or are we supposed to tell them to listen to our podcast? I don't know how this works.
The idea is that you're supposed to tell people who are not listening to podcasts to try listening to podcasts.
I'm going to once again plug other people's podcasts.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say that Crime Town continues to be fantastic.
It's great. I love it a lot.
And the Seth Morris Radio Project.
Very good. You can hear that on Stitcher Premium and Howl. Also, you can hear our spinoff show, Origin Stories, also on Stitcher Premium and Howl, and follow The Big 100 on Instagram. A big thank you to Brett Morris up in the booth, everybody here at Largo. Everybody here at Largo.
Flanny changed the name. Largle.
Largle. Avril Halley, who pulled all these amazing clips and listened to all these commentaries. July Diaz, Nate Kiley, Kelly Alto, Leanna Waldron, and everybody at Earwolf, thank you so much. And thank you for all for coming tonight. So great.
Thank you to David and Kate for singing the songs.
That's it, everybody. Thank you for listening to another episode of How Did This Get Made? If you want to join in on the conversation, give us a call at 619-PAUL-ASK. Ask me any question about your life, your love, your job, or about the movie. But if you really want to get into the movie, go to the earwolf.com message boards and you can leave all your thoughts there. Make sure to listen to our mini episode as we have a fantastic interview with one of the stars of Chopping Mall. We are going to be telling you the movie to watch next week, so definitely check out our mini episodes. They are a lot of fun. For me, I want to tell you all just one thing. If you're in LA and you want to come see me at Largo, come do it on 7/31 at 8:30 p.m. It's a show I call Hanging with Paul Scheer. It's a little bit like Show and Tell. Last episode, we had Zach Galifianakis. We had John Bryan, the amazing musician. We also had Natasha Leggero and Moshe Kasher. You never know who's going to come, so definitely check me out. Largo-LA.com. Hanging with Paul Scheer, 7:31. That's all I got. A big thank you to everybody here at Earwolf. July up in the booth. Cody on the inside world. A big thank you to Avril Halley for cutting all of our clips, as always. Leanna Waldron for designing all of our amazing art. Nate Kiley for doing the hard research. And for Kelly Alto for pulling it all together. We got a great team. And we'll be back next week for a mini episode. Thank you so much for listening. Bye for now.
Humans, this is Matt Besser from Improv for Humans. It's an improvised podcast where we do a special thing every once in a while we call the narrative experiment, where we actually choose characters for our improvisers. They keep the character throughout the episode, and we basically do a sitcom. Check it out. It's called Mopes. It stars John Gabris, Jess McKinney, Eugene Cordero, three of my favorite improvisers. Check it out, Humans. Mopes on Improv for Humans.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.